dream came to me. I dreamt I was walking in World War III. I went to the doctor the very next day to see what kind of words he had to say. He said it was a bad dream. I said, hold it, Doc, a World War passed my brain. He said, nurse, get your pad, the boy's insane. He took my arm as I said, ouch, as I landed hard on the psychiatric couch. He said, tell me about it. Well, the whole thing started at 3 o'clock fast. It was all over by 1:15. I was down in the sewer with some little lover when I peeked out from a manhole cover. Wonder who turned the lights on us. Well, I got up and I walked around, up and down the lonesome town. Just wondering which way to go. I lit a cigarette on a parking meter and I walked on down the road. It was a normal day.
Hi, you're with Truth News Radio Australia on the 29th of October 2016. And the music I'm playing there for the intro today is Bob Dylan's Talkin' World War III Blues. And I'm playing that for a couple of reasons. One, of course, because Bob Dylan famously now has won the Nobel Prize for Literature, which is the most coveted prize for literature. And despite the lack of credibility that the Nobel Committee now has, and I certainly acknowledge that, the Nobel Prize for Literature is a little cleaner than the other types of Nobel Prizes that have been handed out, particularly the Nobel Prize for Peace. And it's very significant, I feel, that Bob Dylan has won that award in this year. And, of course, there's been a bit of controversy about whether he was actually going to accept it. But some news just out today indicates that he is going to accept the prize, and in which case he's going to have to give a lecture. And within 6 months, he's actually going to have to deliver a lecture in Sweden. So that will be very interesting to see if he has anything less ambiguous and cryptic to say than he usually does. But let's just talk a little about why it is that Bob Dylan has won the Nobel Prize and why that is so significant. You see, Bob Dylan's music for the first five albums or so, the first 5 or 6 years of his musical career, was really deeply preoccupied with issues of truth and corruption and justice and war. And it was at a time in 1963, when most of that material that he produced was written. It was a time of huge crisis in the US and around the world, really, with the threat of nuclear annihilation being reaching its highest point, and the state of preparedness for real nuclear war was quite high at that time. And Dylan wrote all these songs as a very young man, partly dealing with the social and cultural aspects of this living within the situation of doom and despair of a potential world war, and also looking at all of the corruption and the shocking injustice that was prevalent in the US at that time. Now, in subsequent decades, after the civil rights movement and after the tumultuous 1960s, many people sort of looked at that period as being over and done with. And probably from the 80s through to the 90s, Bob Dylan was kind of drifting back into history. I mean, people had recognized his greatness, and there would always be people who would reawaken to his lyrical genius. But what's really interesting now is that when we look at the issues that he was dealing with, in which he invested so much passion with into his songs, is that these issues have not gone away. And perhaps they'll never go away. I mean, in the same sense that the issues that Shakespeare dealt with, or the issues that the ancient Greek playwrights dealt with, have not gone away either. These are perhaps perennial issues. And that, again, is perhaps why Bob Dylan is so great, and why the Nobel Committee ultimately did award him this prize. I mean, there have been a lot of other great songwriters, a lot of other great contemporary poets that didn't win the Nobel Prize. So there must be something extra that Bob Dylan brings. And my analysis, my guess at it, is that what he brings is this universal reality, this universal truth, which is always true, which can never be outdated, and which does indeed warrant that special recognition. And it's great that his music now has that recognition. And this is, let's just be clear, this is not about a person. This is not about whether you like Bob Dylan, whether Bob Dylan is a nice guy. A lot of people have said to me, you know, well, I don't like Bob Dylan, he's rude, or, you know, he can't sing. And people make all these statements about Bob Dylan that are sort of irrelevant to whether or not he's a great songwriter, whether or not he's a great musician. They're individual personal aspects of the individual. And in many ways, yes, Bob Dylan's personality is rather prickly and often arrogant and uncommunicative when he's actually, you know, interviewed, speaking. And you know, his singing voice, some people like it, some people don't. In later years, I think his singing voice really has deteriorated to the point that I can't listen to it. I mean, I love listening to Dylan's early music. I love listening to most of the work that he did up until the late 1970s. But there's very little that he's produced after about 1978 that I can bear to listen to. And that's mainly because his voice has just become croakier and croakier over the years. But he's still written some great songs since then. But let's now just digress a little, because I want to get into talking a little more about this whole corruption aspect. And so much of Dylan's early repertoire was about just really rancid evil that is manifest in our society, that is hidden there. And a particularly think of a song like Desolation Row, which kind of gets into this the seediness and the sordidness of life that is going on all the time, but which we tend to ignore and we just gloss it over. But his song Desolation Row, which I feel is one of his greatest literary works, has this deep penetration into the corruption that is at the core of Western society and the sadness of that. And so now we see, in 2016, we see so many of these issues resurfacing, and we see the real threat of nuclear war once again emerging. Now, again, this is something that people can neglect to see. People can turn their eyes away from it, just like Dylan says in the song Blowing in the Wind. You know, you've got to open your eyes and see the reality. I personally don't believe that there is going to be a nuclear war in the near future. But that's a personal belief, but it's not about what I believe in. And what's important to talk about is not about whether I believe this will happen or I believe that will happen. We've got to talk about the facts. The facts are that the United States has an arsenal of nuclear weapons which can wipe out most of the planet, and that Russia has the same. US may be slightly ahead in terms of technology, but Russia has a massive amount of firepower and easily enough to destroy most major American cities, and there is no missile shield that will protect against the new missiles that have been dubbed the Satan missiles. And I think that's a name that's been given to them by the West, but some of the new missiles which have been deployed by the Russians. And we're seeing this now at a time when the rhetoric against Russia has just been building and building year after year. Really, ever since Putin was elected, the anti-Russia propaganda, which had been sort of bubbling along up to then, just gradually increased and increased. And there's just been layer after layer of it, year after year. And this year, 2016, it's sort of come to a crescendo. And it's sort of come to a crescendo along with the US presidential campaign. And we have Hillary Clinton, who may very well be the US president in 10 days' time, saying that she wants to implement a no-fly zone in Syria. She has said that is her intended policy. And it has already been flagged that a no-fly zone in Syria would be an act of war. And that would be an act of war against Russia, which is an ally of Syria, which has been invited into Syria by the Russian government, and which is fighting a war against a particularly evil group who are running rampant in Syria and Iraq. Hillary wants to declare a no-fly zone. Now, the term no-fly zone, of course, was used in relation to Libya. And when it was first used, people thought that meant, well, there's just not going to be any planes in the sky, right? That's what people assumed a no-fly zone would mean. That's what you'd think it would mean, wouldn't you? Just in terms of like what the words mean. But in practice, in Libya, it didn't mean that at all. What it meant was that all the Libyan planes were destroyed or shot down. So the Libyan Air Force had no ability to fly planes. But then the skies were filled with NATO planes, which went on bombing raids, destroying any targets they chose. And that is what they called a no-fly zone in Libya. So that threat is very real. And because that entails basically an act of war against Russia, the threat of nuclear war with Russia is very real. Now, I don't believe that Hillary Clinton is stupid enough to make that happen. But the fact is that the technology is there. The missiles are ready to go with 4 minutes' notice. The US president can launch missiles against Russia within 4 minutes. And it's all there. They can do it. The button is there, sitting ready to be pushed. We're going to break here with Truth News Radio Australia. It's great to be talking to you today. Stay with us.
Through advances in technology, our lives have greatly improved, except in the area of nutrition. People feed their pets better than they feed themselves, and it's time we changed all that. Our primary defense against aging and disease in this toxic environment is good nutrition. In a world where natural foods have been irradiated, adulterated, and mutilated, Youngevity can provide the nutrients you need. Logos Radio Network gets many requests to endorse all sorts of products, most of which we reject. We have come to trust Youngevity so much, we became a marketing distributor along with Alex Jones, Ben Fuchs, and many others. When you order from LogosRadioNetwork.com, your health will improve as you help support quality radio. As you realize the benefits of Youngevity, you may want to join us. As a distributor, you can experience improved health, help your friends and family, and increase your income. Order now.
Are you being harassed by debt collectors with phone calls, letters, or even lawsuits? Stop debt collectors now with the Michael Maris Proven Method. Michael Maris has won 6 cases in federal court against debt collectors, and now you can win too. You'll get step-by-step instructions in plain English on how to win in court using federal civil rights statutes, what to do when contacted by phone, mail, or court summons, how to answer letters and phone calls, how to get debt collectors out of your credit report, how to turn the financial tables on them and make them pay you to go away. The Michael Maris Proven Method is the solution for how to stop debt collectors. Personal consultation is available as well. For more information, please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the blue Michael Maris banner or email michaelmaris@yahoo.com. That's ruleoflawradio.com or email michaelmiras@yahoo.com to learn how to stop debt collectors.
Men and women of Earth, may I have your attention? This is Herewood Fenton, host of Truth News Radio Australia. You're invited to join the info war as we work to restore truth in media and challenge the dark forces which now dominate mainstream news. I'm calling on you, valued listener, to use your hard-earned dollars to help us smash the globalist empire. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe today. Welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. And I'm now talking about the US election campaign, in particular in relation to Hillary Clinton. And there's been some interesting new revelations today, just today, that have popped up in the news. So this is very fresh. But there is a new FBI probe into the Hillary Clinton email saga. And it's in relation to another investigation that was being conducted on Anthony Weiner about sending text messages to underaged people. And I've got an article here from ABC Australia, and it's a top news story on ABC, which is an indication that this is actually a big deal, because the ABC in Australia, Australian Broadcasting Corporation, tends to play down negative press about Hillary Clinton while, you know, massively amplifying anything negative about Trump. But they can't ignore this one. An FBI investigation into Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton's use of a private email server while Secretary of State has been reignited after new emails were discovered during an unrelated probe. With just 11 days to go before the November 8 election, FBI Director James Comey said in a letter to several congressional Republicans that the agency had learned of the existence of emails that appeared to be pertinent to its investigation. Mr. Comey did not provide details about the emails, but a U.S. official said the emails emerged through the FBI's separate sexting probe of former U.S. Representative Anthony Weiner, who is separated from Mrs. Clinton's confidant, Huma Abedin. Mrs. Abedin served as Deputy Chief of Staff at the State Department and is still a key player in Mrs. Clinton's presidential campaign. Mrs. Clinton, who earlier remained silent on the issue, has called on the FBI to release all new information in its probe, saying she does not think the agency would change its July conclusion not to prosecute her. And we've got a video clip of her saying just that, so I'll play that for you. Here we go.
We have not been contacted by anyone. First we knew about it is, I assume, when you knew about it, when this letter sent to Republican members of the House was released. So we don't know the facts, which is why we are calling on the FBI to release all the information that it has. Even Director Comey noted that this new information may not be significant, so let's get it out. You know, I think people a long time ago made up their minds about the emails. I think that's factored into what people think, and now they're choosing a president. So I would urge everybody to get out and vote early in all the states that have early voting, because I think Americans want a president who can lead our country, who can get the economy working for everyone, not just those at the top, and who can bring our country together. I offer that. I can do that. And I'm very confident that the American people know that. And we're going to continue to discuss what's at stake in this election, because I believe that it's one of the most consequential elections ever. Secretary, you know, we've heard these rumors. We don't know what to believe. And I'm sure there will be even more rumors. That's why it is incumbent upon the FBI to tell us what they're talking about, Jeff, because right now your guess is as good as mine. And I.
So just leave it there. There'll be obviously more complete videos of that available online. The video I'm playing there doesn't actually include the questions, only the answers that Hillary gave at the press conference. I've also got a response here from Donald Trump, so I'll just play that to you as well. He responded as well to this.
Hillary Clinton's corruption is on a scale we have never seen before. We must not let her take her criminal scheme into the Oval Office. I have great respect for the fact that the FBI and the Department of Justice are now willing to have the courage to right the horrible mistake that they made. This was a grave miscarriage of justice that the American people fully understood. And it is everybody's hope that it is about to be corrected.
So there we have it. I don't know any more than that. And apparently the details have not been released. But the fact that the FBI has taken this particular step at this particular point in time is extremely interesting, and obviously is going to change the odds. Of course, all the major media and all the polls, and including betting odds, have Hillary Clinton well ahead. And I've actually got, I find election betting odds quite interesting. I'm just looking at a page here, election betting odds. I'm just going to refresh it now. electionbettingodds.com, and it still has Clinton at 75.5%, Trump at 23%, up 5%, it says here, but still basically a 3-1 odds of Hillary Clinton winning the election. Interesting looking at the actual map of the election odds on different states. All of the kind of Midwest and northern middle states of the U.S. are all very firmly Trump. But the northeastern sector of the nation, including New York, Massachusetts, Maine, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Maryland, are all Vermont. I mean, they're all firmly Clinton, and the western seaboard states, California, Washington State, and Oregon, are all firmly Clinton states. But obviously a big swathe of the country, right through the middle, is very strongly, according to the betting odds anyway, very, very strongly pro-Trump. So anything could happen. I do believe that anything could happen. There is still a possibility. A few days ago, I would have said, no, it's just not possible. But there is a possibility now that Trump will win, a real possibility. I mean, I'm not just talking about odds. I'm just saying, like, whether it seems like it's possible or not. When the establishment is so firmly against something happening, and when they're using every means available, including suppressing the polls, including manipulating the media, and including letting Hillary off on the FBI investigation, then it seems like the chance of Trump actually winning is very, very, very small. But with the FBI now coming out making this statement, somewhat ambiguous, somewhat cryptic at this stage, what does that indicate? Well, it says to me that there is a glimmer within the power structure of the United States, a glimmer of support for Trump. And it may be bigger than that behind the scenes. There may be other parts of the establishment that are secretly trying to get Trump in. And indeed, this could be a political ploy on the part of the FBI. And if so, it's very significant, because obviously the FBI is a very large, powerful organization, very much tied to US federal policies. It's a very political organization. As we know, the founder of the FBI, J. Edgar Hoover, was heavily involved in politics and did influence elections. So the FBI is influencing the election in terms of what they're now saying. They are acting as political lobbyists. We're going to break. We'll be right back. Don't go.
Do you have looks to die for? According to a new study, killer contaminants are lurking in many popular cosmetic products. I'm Dr. Katherine Albrecht, and I'll be back to tell you how you or someone you love can dodge a shocking beauty bullet.
Privacy is under attack. When you give up data about yourself, you'll never get it back again. And once your privacy is gone, you'll find your freedoms will start to vanish too. So protect your rights, say no to surveillance, and keep your information to yourself. Privacy, it's worth hanging on to. This public service announcement is brought to you by StartPage.com, the private search engine alternative to Google, Yahoo, and Bing. Start over with StartPage.
Environmental group Canadian Defense is warning consumers that many popular cosmetics contain heavy metals. The organization sent name brand makeup like mascara, eyeshadow, and lipstick to an accredited lab. Out of 49 products, 96% tested positive for lead, 20% contained arsenic, and 51% contained cadmium. None of these dangerous items was listed on the label. Heavy metals can build up in the body and lead to health problems like cancer, memory loss, mood swings, and hair loss. Researchers say your best defense is to wear less makeup and buy products that guarantee they do not contain heavy metals. I'm Dr. Katherine Albrecht. More news and information at KatherineAlbrecht.com.
HempUSA.org has moved and expanded its operations for faster worldwide shipping. Our product line has grown from 5 to nearly 100 items in less than 5 years. Our food is grown naturally, always chemical-free, not found in stores. Great for daily intake and perfect for your emergency storage shelter. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org and see what our powders, seeds, and oil can do for you.
Rule of Law Radio is proud to offer the Rule of Law Traffic Seminar. In today's America, we live in an us-against-them society, and if we, the people, are ever going to have a free society, then we're going to have to stand and defend our own rights. Among those rights are the right to travel freely from place to place, the right to act in our own private capacity, and most importantly, the right to due process of law. Traffic courts afford us the least expensive opportunity to learn how to enforce and preserve our rights through due process. Former Sheriff's Deputy Eddie Craig, in conjunction with Rule of Law Radio, has put together the most comprehensive teaching tool available that will help you understand understand what due process is and how to hold the courts to the rule of law. You can get your own copy of this invaluable material by going to ruleoflawradio.com and ordering your copy today. By ordering now, you'll receive a copy of Eddie's book, The Texas Transportation Code, The Law Versus the Lie, video and audio of the original 2009 seminar, hundreds of research documents, and other useful resource material. Learn how to fight for your rights with the help of this material from ruleoflawradio.com. Order your copy today, and together we can have the free society we all want and deserve.
Welcome back, you at Truth News Radio. I want to play to you now a clip of Michael Moore explaining why Trump will win the election. And this is quite fascinating. This is actually part of a film that Moore has just recently released, basically attacking Trump and trying to promote Hillary Clinton. But there's a section of it where he's actually giving a lecture and he's talking about Trump's allure, why it is that people will vote for Trump. And it's so convincing that people have actually edited it and put it up on the internet, just in the edited version, the out of context. And it looks like Michael Moore is actually advocating Trump. Of course, he's not. But in a way, this actually may end up shooting him in the foot because he's so convincing in what he says and the reasons that he gives why people are going to potentially vote for Trump and why they might do so in a surprising way and in surprising numbers is actually well explained by Michael Moore. So we'll just play that for you right now.
Donald Trump came to the Detroit Economic Club and stood there in front of the Ford Motor executives and said, if you close these factories as you're planning to do in Detroit and build them in Mexico, I'm going to put a 35% tariff on those cars when you send them back, and nobody's going to buy them. It was an amazing thing to see. No politician, Republican or Democrat, had ever said anything like that to these executives. And it was music to the ears of people in Michigan and Ohio and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, the Brexit states. You live here in Ohio, you know what I'm talking about. Whether Trump means it or not is kind of irrelevant because he's saying the things to people who are hurting. And it's why every beaten down, nameless, forgotten working stiff who used to be part of what was called the middle class loves Trump. He is the human Molotov cocktail that they've been waiting for. The human hand grenade that they can legally throw into the system that stole their lives from them. And on November 8th, Election Day, although they've lost their jobs, although they've been foreclosed on by the bank, next came the divorce, and now the wife and kids are gone, the car's been repoed, they haven't had a real vacation in years, they're stuck with the shitty Obamacare bronze plan where you can't even get a Percocet. They've essentially lost everything they had. Except one thing. The one thing that doesn't cost them a cent and is guaranteed to them by the American Constitution, the right to vote. They might be penniless, they might be homeless, they might be fucked over and fucked up. It doesn't matter because it's equalized on that day. A millionaire has the same number of votes as the person without a job. One. And there's more of the former middle class than there are in the millionaire class. So on November 8th, the dispossessed will walk into the voting booth, be handed a ballot, close the curtain, and take that lever or felt pen or touchscreen and put a big f***ing X in the box by the name of the man who has threatened to upend and overturn the very system that has ruined their lives. Donald J. Trump. They see that the elites who ruined their lives hate Trump. Corporate America hates Trump. Wall Street hates Trump. The career politicians hate Trump. The media hates Trump after they loved him and created him and now hate him. Thank you, media. The enemy of my enemy is who I'm voting for on November 8th. Yes, on November 8th, you, Joe Blow, Steve Blow, Bob Blow, Billy Bob Blow, all the Blows get to go and blow up the whole goddamn system because it's your right. Trump's election is going to be the biggest fuck you ever recorded in human history. And it will feel good.
So there we have it from the man himself, the hero of the left, the hero of the working class left in America, Michael Moore, outlining some actually very sound reasons why people will say a big F you to the establishment. And it's important to understand that the enemy of my enemy is a well-acknowledged principle that many U.S. administrations have followed. Many people respond to it, and it's a deep, visceral instinct. If someone comes forward as an enemy of your enemy, you will tend to ally with that individual. And it has been used by both sides of politics many times and has been used in conflicts many, many times. So there's no point in minimizing that or writing that off. It's real. And it even influences my perceptions of Trump, because there are some things about Trump that I disagree with. Some of his statements, some of his angles that he takes on things. Recently, one particular aspect that I really do find fault with, and I notice hasn't been focused on by the alternative or libertarian media, is the way Trump pumps up the police and completely ignores, you know, pumps up the police as being great heroes and the police as being victimized and the police as needing more support. And then talks about the kind of war against the police when for years and years and years, and we've got thousands of documented videos which demonstrate that it is indeed the police, the bloated police, which have been given far too much power and have become far too arrogant, which are the real problem in the US. And Trump has completely ignored that, and it's one reason why I'm slightly, you know, worried about what might happen with Trump in charge in relation to police brutality in the United States, because it has really got now as bad as it's ever been. But he wants to give the police more power, and you know, he wants to kind of demonize anyone who criticizes the police. So just bear that in mind. But that's a trivial factor. Far more important, of course, is Trump's position in relation to these core economic issues and core foreign policy issues. The foreign policy issues are not things that the average working person actually engages with that much. They will engage with things where they feel very threatened and very scared, and that's usually achieved by propaganda. But when a leader comes forward that's talking about diplomacy and saying, look, let's work with the Russians, let's try and resolve these, well, that doesn't carry as strong a propaganda meme. And so people do actually respond more to the fear factor and the demonization of the propaganda that's put out by the left, and particularly by the Clintons in this race presently, but is reflected in the policies of many other Western countries around the world. Now, one aspect of that demonization, which has been conducted so effectively by the Obama-led US administration, and will be continued by Hillary Clinton, certainly, is the demonization of Russia. And this is something I'll be talking about a little more when we come back from break. I want to talk about one aspect of the propaganda campaign in relation to this punk music group named Pussy Riot. Because this is an example of a deeper cultural programming, cultural propaganda, that is the hallmark of the way the CIA operates. And there's some very interesting information that I think needs to be shared about that. So when we come back from break, I'll be talking about Pussy Riot. Stay with me.
My name is Stuart Smith from naturespureorganics.com, and I would like to invite you to come by our store at 1904 Guadalupe Street, Suite D, here in Austin, Texas, behind Brave New Books and Chase Bank, to see all our fantastic health and wellness products with your very own eyes. Have a look at our miracle healing clay that started our adventure in alternative medicine. Take a peek at some of our other wonderful products, including our Australian emu oil, lotion candles, olive oil soaps, and colloidal silver and gold. Call 512-264-4043 or find us online at naturespureorganics.com. That's 512-264-4043, naturespureorganics.com. Don't forget to like us on Facebook for information on events and our products. naturespureorganics.com.
Plaintiff or defendant in a lawsuit? Win your case without an attorney with JurisDictionary, the affordable, easy-to-understand 4-CD course that will show you how in 24 hours, step by step. If you have a lawyer, know what your lawyer should be doing. If you don't have a lawyer, know what you should do for yourself. Thousands have won with our step-by-step course, and now you can too. JurisDictionary was created by a licensed attorney with 22 years of case-winning experience. Even if you're not in a lawsuit, you can learn what everyone should understand about the principles and practices that control our American courts. You'll receive our audio classroom, video seminar, tutorials, forms for civil cases, pro se tactics, and much more. Please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the banner, or call toll-free 866.
What happens in terms of creating wars is a mind manipulation technique called problem-reaction-solution. And it works like this. First of all, you create the problem, but you get someone else to be blamed for it. You then report that problem through the media in the way you want it reported. You get the public to react to your problem by saying something must be done, this can't go on, what are they going to do about it?
Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. Now, Pussy Riot. Let's talk about Pussy Riot. The Russian so-called punk band of three women, I think there might be five women in it now, looking at the videos, there, who were imprisoned in 2012. And they were imprisoned with great fanfare from the Western media as an example of Russia's persecution of artistic freedom. And groups like the Endowment for Democracy, a front for US policy in the in Russia, were involved in promoting the information and awareness of the so-called persecution of Pussy Riot. And many people who followed the news, and even I at that time didn't know much about it, unless you've got the position of just deliberately ignoring what the mainstream media says, you would probably have thought, well, it's basically true. They are a band. They did some, they seem a bit unconventional, and the Russians don't allow that, and they were imprisoned. And many people I know believed that as the basic scenario of what happened. And it's only if you actually do a little bit of background research, you find out more about the truth about Pussy Riot. Now, a couple of days ago, Luke Radowski of WeAreChange.org posted a video in which he complains about this band using some of his video as part of one of their music clips. And he's very angry about it. And the video has a lot of obscenities in it, so I won't actually be able to play that for you. But the deeper truth here is that, for one, Pussy Riot, they are not really a band. They can't write music to save themselves. And I've got an example here of one of their songs, which I can play to you. It's not overly obscene, or it does use the word vagina over and over again. I think just I'll play a bit of that just to demonstrate the complete feebleness of what they produce as music. And until recently, they hadn't even produced any music. When they were being elevated by The Guardian, they had not actually done any music at all. They'd just done these performances. And they were already getting attention for that. And indeed, the reason why they were arrested and imprisoned was not really for actually a musical performance. It was just a kind of a riot. I mean, it really, as the naming indicates, they rioted inside a Russian church. They organized this riot inside the main Russian Orthodox Cathedral in Moscow. And the video for that is online. I'll link to it on the show notes today. And they were just hurling obscenities. It was basically a provocation. It was an agent provocateur act. And this had been the culmination of a series of things that they had done, in Russia, that had garnered a lot of attention and disgust, including things like public sex acts, one done in a museum and one done with a frozen chicken. I'm not kidding. I mean, this has all been documented and there's plenty of evidence for this. And on several occasions, they also had been caught doing obscene graffiti on churches, doing these obscene acts in public, and they were not arrested. They got away with it over and over again. And it's clear, in hindsight, that this group was being manipulated and handled by foreign policy think tanks overseas to generate a scenario whereby the West could point the finger at Russia and say, oh, look, they're suppressing artistic freedom. And it finally came to that point when they went into this Russian Orthodox cathedral and engaged in this obscene behavior right in the middle of a church where there are actual priests and people doing their normal things that they do in churches, right? And of course, in any society, in any country, this would be a criminal matter, particularly if it involved obscenity. So they were ultimately arrested and they were charged. And part of the charge was their attacks, their hate speech. I think they were actually charged with hate speech. And if you look at what they actually said and the statements that they've made, Indeed, it is hate speech against the Catholic Church and against Putin himself. And in any country where this occurred, they would have been arrested. But they were held up as some wonderful symbol of artistic freedom. And so the story goes. I mean, it's just an example of this ridiculous game that is being played for propaganda purposes. And in case you're in any doubt about the artistic merit of this so-called ban, which has actually produced some real video clips in more recent years, it looks to me as if they've had a lot of funding. And I should point out that they're still being promoted on The Guardian. They were initially promoted on The Guardian. And there's a new article up on The Guardian dated 25th of October, 2016. Pussy Riot celebrate the vagina in a lyrical riposte to Trump. So The Guardian is promoting this as a kind of a protest song by these radical feminists who are have put up this material to respond to Donald Trump's famous statements that he made about women. And it turns out, of course, that this video was recorded more than 6 months ago. But never mind, it's now being promoted for that reason. But let's just play a little of it so you can see how pathetic it is. And it's a sort of a counterbalance to Bob Dylan and what we're seeing in this year, you know, with Bob Dylan winning the Nobel Prize, and the ironic manifestation of a group like Pussy Riot, which has demonstrably no artistic talent at all, which looks like it's had its lyrics written by some third parties, which is using rap singers to actually deliver a large part of its content. And I should say the only part of the content that you can actually listen to that is not painful to the ear is the part where they have the rap singers actually interjecting into the music. But that's what is now being presented in this ironic, twisted, messed up world as protest music. Here we go.
Some of you may become somewhat uncomfortable as parts of this film unfold.
If you listen carefully, you will agree that the concepts will contribute to the rearing of a mature person who has a healthy, responsible attitude toward the sexual side of his life.
Probably had to rush off and throw up after listening to that. Sorry to assault you with that very unpleasant sound, but that was the now famous band, which has the name of Pussy Riot. And they are being celebrated on The Guardian for their wonderful protest song. I've got one more topic just to raise, since we're on the subject of women's issues, and I don't have any time to actually get into it, but I will try to get into it in upcoming shows. The men's rights movement is the subject of a film which has been made by a young lady who's actually a genuine feminist, and she describes herself as a feminist. And I've watched some interviews with her and I found out more about her background. She is really of a background of a feminist, but she decided to look into the so-called men's rights movement in the US. And it looks like a very, very interesting documentary, which has been banned from cinemas in Australia, similar to what we saw with films about vaccines, where powerful lobby groups, in this case feminist lobby groups, have put pressure on movie cinemas to disallow them, to make them self-censorship, basically, to make them prevent them from actually filming the show. But I'll get into that in a later show because we are at the end of the hour. I hope that's been of some value for you today. I'll be doing more shows and try to get into more intense coverage of the really important things that are unfolding over the next 10 days or so as we head into the US election. So that's Truth News Radio Australia signing out. I'll be back next week. See you then.
Looking for some truth? You found it.